The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
We do have a handout that you can pick up at the end of the day or some point that lists the seven factors. And the bottom of the handout, there's a quote from the Buddha that says, "Just as the dawn is the precursor to the arising of the sun, so good spiritual friendship is a precursor to the rising of the seven factors of awakening." Isn't that nice? So here we are, Dharma Practice Day, and we can all consider each other good spiritual friends for the year, and that our exploration together of this topic hopefully is support for each other, hopefully is the precursor for the sun of awakening. So mindfulness is an awakening factor. And mindfulness is one of the simple definitions of mindfulness in the ancient tradition is non-forgetfulness. So when you can hold something in your mind and not forget it, that's the faculty of mindfulness operating. The word for mindfulness is cognate. It's closely connected to the word to remember in Pali. And so it has similar functions of holding something in mind. When we do mindfulness practice, then we're holding, for example, the present moment in mind. We're not forgetting the present moment. Or if you're mindful of your breath, you're holding your experience of breath in the mind. You're not forgetting to be connected to your breath. If you're being mindful of a friend who's doing something, then you kind of keep your friend in mind. If you're trying to remember a shopping list, you'd hold a shopping list in your mind. You wouldn't forget it. So this capacity of the mind to hold something is partly what mindfulness is. Even if we do choiceless awareness, just open awareness to whatever's going on, and then we're holding the present moment in mind, not drifting off into thinking about the past or the future. So this capacity to hold things is part of is not forget what we're committing ourselves to is part of it. And what we're holding is not just what we're holding in awareness, for example, the breath, that's important, but it's also the holding itself. It's the remembering, it's the attention that we bring is also. And the mindfulness factor that gets strengthened is that capacity to hold something in awareness, to stand near something. Another way of understanding mindfulness and the etymology of the word in Pali is to stand close to something. So if you're going to be mindful of the breath, you're going to have a certain kind of presence of mind that's close to it. Now, it's not just mindfulness is not just being aware. Someone who is insane can be aware. You know, sometimes an insane person approaches you and you know they're aware of you. So, it's not enough just to be aware, to be mindful. There's something else that goes along. And one of the qualities that goes along with mindfulness is a kind of presence of mind, a sense of presence of being, or presence, that you know that you're aware. You know that you're mindful. When mindfulness is strong, you don't think necessarily this way, but there's a kind of, it's a strong enough phenomena that you know that you're present. And that capacity to be mindful and to have that kind of strong sense of knowing, be close to and hold something, is considered one of the seven jewels of Buddhism. And a jewel is something that's considered to be very valuable. So to engage in mindfulness practice is to cultivate and develop something that's very valuable. Some people who do mindfulness practice focus a lot on the object of attention. Mindfulness for them is to actually look at the breath and really get to know the breath, focus on the breath. It's all about the breath or some object of attention, whatever it might be. But a hugely important part of mindfulness is the other half of the equation, which is the mind that's being mindful. The attention that's holding the breath, the quality of the mind that is attending, the attending to the breath. And that quality of attending, that quality of holding, of being mindful, is the jewel. The breath is great, But it's not one, the breath is not the factor of awakening, it's that mindfulness that holds the breath. So with that as an introduction, I thought we would do a little sitting. So I'm going to give you an instruction, an unusual instruction from a meditation teacher. And as when I give you the instruction, I want you to notice what happens to you. Notice what happens to your capacity to know, to be aware. And the instruction is, don't notice anything. Don't be aware of anything right now. Not allowed. And if you start noticing something, just stop it. Now, some of you probably just checked out. But some of you perhaps notice that you can't stop knowing. That knowing is just always there, especially if you're getting involved in the whole process of not knowing and knowing. You're not distracted at that moment. That the quality of knowing, of noticing, is something the mind, I would say, naturally does. So now, bring your attention to the sensations of your body sitting on the cushion or the chair. And for just a few moments, explore that experience. The pressure, the hardness, the softness, the temperature, the vibration. Keep knowing it, keep exploring it, move attention around the area where the contact is made. And then as you do that, notice something about the quality of the attention itself. The quality of the attending that you bring to noticing that contact. Is that attending, paying attention, is it relaxed or is it tense? Is it hesitant or eager? How much thinking is mixed up with attention to the contact? And if you can separate out the thinking from the more direct experience of the contact, how does that shift your sense of what mindfulness is, of being present? And then shift your attention so that you become aware of your breathing. Noticing, bringing your attention to that part of your body where you usually experience breathing. and as a relaxed way as is appropriate, explore the interplay or the difference between paying attention to the particular experiences of breathing, the sensations of breathing in and out, expanding and contracting, versus being aware of the quality of the attention. Noticing what it's like to attend to the breath. So the task is to hold the experience of breathing in awareness. Not to forget, staying connected to breathing in and breathing out. One of the meanings of satipatthana is to stand or be close to your experience. So not watching the breathing from the head or from your thinking, but letting the attending, the attention, be with the breath right close to the experience. So there's the experience of breathing, and there's the attending to that, the awareness of that. And that awareness that stays close to the breath, that knows you're breathing, that awareness, that mindfulness, is very valuable. It's a jewel. If you really knew how valuable it was, it is, you would not be so interested in a lot of the things you're thinking about normally in your life. You'd be interested in this valuable phenomena, activity, of being present, attending, knowing. When the mind wanders off in thought, don't be bothered by that. But as soon as you notice it, rediscover that quality of mind that attends to the breathing. as you know your experience of breathing, see if you can really know what that experience is like. It's a little bit more detail or clarity. And as you know it with a little bit more clarity, let there be a kind of a sense that you know, that you're aware that you're aware of the breathing. And be relaxed about it, soft, gentle. But a heightened sense of awareness that you could, if asked, say, oh yeah, I know that I know. Notice how the experience of breathing in is experienced differently than the experience of breathing out. Notice what the experience is of switching from breathing out to breathing in is. Notice what the experience of what happens as you shift from breathing out, breathing in to breathing out. Notice whether your breathing is short or whether you have long breaths. Notice if your breathing is fast or slow. And then continue to notice things about your breathing. It can be the same things over and over again, but continue noticing things about your breathing. But then maybe from the side of sideways glance or in some way, notice what the knowing is like. What's the quality of that knowing which experiences the different aspects of breathing? What's the awareness like that holds and is present for the experience? So I'm suggesting that there are two things. There's the object of attention, and then the attention itself. So for example, there's seeing something out there, and there's the act of seeing in the eye. So there's the what we're mindful of, and then the quality of the mindfulness, the way that what goes on in the attending. And that the attending, the mindfulness gets developed the more we attend to the object of attention. So it's kind of like if you want to sharpen a knife, you have a whetstone. The more you kind of go back and forth in the whetstone, the sharper the knife becomes. The more you stay with your breathing or stay with the object and really get to know it better and better, the stronger the mindfulness becomes. However, the mindfulness is different than the object. And at some point, the mindfulness can get strong enough, the sense of awareness can get strong enough that it stands out in highlight as something in its own right. It's kind of like we know that we know. We can know something about the quality of the knowing. And if we can really begin appreciating how, what a valuable resource it is, what a valuable phenomenon it is, what a jewel it is, then it may be easier for the mind to want to be mindful. Because, you know, if it doesn't know that, then thinking about what's going to be for dinner is more interesting, right? There are other things. Mind has a lot of things that are interesting. So the quality of the attending, the quality of the awareness that knows, what goes on, what's that like? What supports that? What makes it difficult? How do we value it more? How do we recognize it? What do we recognize when we notice that? That's a topic I'd like you to discuss. And what I have in mind is I'd like you to break into groups of five people. And then as a group, discuss a little bit something about what you know, what you recognize about the awareness itself that knows, the mindfulness. What do you know about that quality? What's it like? How's it experienced? How's it developed? How's it, what does it feel like? How do you know that it's there? How do you distinguish it from thinking a lot about thinking, about something? So I'm giving you kind of a little bit of a wide area of exploration, but to discuss as a group, not what you're mindful of, but the other half of the equation, the quality or the aspect of attending. And then I'd like to ask one person in the group, or maybe somehow to take notes or somehow synthesize the discussion, make a list or something, points you come up with. And then we'll regather here in the hall in about 20 minutes or so. And then we'll have different people report what the highlights of what their group discussion was about. And that way we might get a wonderful wide array of perspectives and issues and ideas about mindfulness. How does it sound to you? You game? And now I think about it, I think we should do groups of six. So you're also welcome to use the outer hall. There's chairs out there. You can go in the conference room if you want a little more quieter. And so why don't you gather in groups of six, and in about 20 minutes or so, I'll ring a bell to bring us all back in here. I hope that was nice. It sounded like it was nice. It sounded like you were into it. And since I wasn't part of any of the discussions, I'm curious to find out what was discussed. And maybe you're just interested in what other groups talked about. And I'm hoping there's a wide range of things. I think there were about 10 groups, so I think we have to limit it to, at the most, 2 minutes each. So if you could, the person who's reporting could... Yeah, the person reporting has to somehow. Don't worry about getting it exact. Don't feel like you have to represent the group exactly. You represent your group through how you synthesized it, how you processed it. That's enough for now. So if it feels like it's going on too long, don't take it personally if I ring the bell. So who would like to start? Yes, please. And wait for the mic, please.
We have only one mic.
We have two somewhere.
Where's the other mic?
Okay, in 2 minutes or less. Probably the big message that we got in the conversation, there was different levels of sophistication or experience with it. So the experience was different from just being new to it to a little bit more developed, and that one of the questions that came up is that over time, is your awareness become more sophisticated? Are you better able to differentiate different feeling tones? Someone, I can't remember, brought up the concept that Eskimos have 30 words for snow. Do you develop that for describing feeling, tones, and breath? And the evolution, I think, was important. One of the big qualities that came up was gentleness, the sense of gentleness towards the experience. And then also a metaphor of being close to the breathing. And not necessarily being in the breathing, but being close to it and next to it.
Great, thank you. So here, Ursula?
We had a wide variety of reactions to this. We were saying that the quality of awareness comes out of the intention. First it started out with an intention, and that led to concentration and the will to be aware, then turned into being more alert and to the moment and moment actions. And it had a calming, for us, some of us, a calming effect, a focus point, and a calmness. And some of us were saying that there was a feeling of this jewel that you talked about. For one of us, it was this getting closer. The word closer was really important because we wanted to feel this value. We wanted to be part of this value of this jewel. And the word closer actually made it possible to become closer to be aware of the awareness. And also there was a feeling of, we had two people use the word eagle. Like an eagle watching the awareness itself, the experience of the awareness was like the eagle watching over. And I personally felt a sense of like a big black velvet mushroom, like over the edge. The awareness became that, at kind of shielding the meditation. And and one of us said there was really no separation. She couldn't separate the object and the awareness. It becomes all one. But if we use words, we have to separate it, and that is not really quite even, didn't even feel natural, because when she meditates, it's one thing. It turns out into one thing. And when you first said to do this, I realized that my awareness changed. And I thought, you remember the Heisenberg principle, right? You have to, you know, it changes the experience if you're watching it. And so I thought, can we turn the Heisenberg principle off? You know, but since the effect was really good, I decided to go with it.
Good, great, thank you.
There seemed to be a consensus in our group that paying attention to the quality of the attention itself allowed for more grounding. For some people, the grounding was actually kind of like your experience of the eagle. So there was some kind of overseeing everything, but being grounded at the same time. There was one person in the group that... for whom having to paying attention to this quality of knowing created some struggle or difficulty and I can't really speak for her because she even didn't have the words to describe that difficulty. But overall it seemed that, you know, that was a very positive thing to do, to step back And for me, it was, I think you were talking about the closeness, and I really felt this closeness with my breath, which I haven't felt before, which is kind of a very loving, tender feeling of totally loving it and not being at odds with it.
Or bored by it.
Yeah, yes, right. And then there was the problem with the concentration at the end, which is that it's a hard state to sustain, this attention of the attention. It's
beautiful. Thank you.
In my group, I feel like we all kind of came together to try to describe something that, you know, once you get back into the mind and try to talk about it in words, you find that you may not have the language around it. And so there was this moment when we were saying the word of and thinking as soon as you say of, then you have an object that follows it. But for the most part, aside from the difficulty of not knowing if we really got the being aware portion, there was this likeness, this quality um, of of a peace, a space, a pause, this space between thinking and non-thinking, perhaps. And we talked about how everything kind of seemed to stop, and there's this opening, like a suspended abyss, and maybe dropping into another level or standing back from the separation. There's some having some separation from the experience. So.
Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, so now,
In our group, a couple of people used the word mystifying, and there's an idea of the preciousness or caring and holding that as very valuable. And then there was also the sort of narrowing in and coming out of the field and kind of seeing that and the value of actually wandering from the object, because then you actually were able to see the qualities of the mindfulness more clearly, how it changed in relation to, you know, closer in or further out or what the object was and how it was relating to that.
Beautiful, thank you.
We had several comments. One was quality of awareness was like a hand laying on top of the breath. A sensation of the breath and of knowing of the sensation of the breath. Another person commented that quality of awareness was a feeling of energy, or provided a feeling of energy towards the awareness. And then mindfulness is remembering to observe, and meditation is the actual observation. It almost seems like the awareness and meditation are almost the same words. I couldn't. And the quality of awareness is kind of like a neutral observation of whatever is going on at the moment. Exactly the opposite of thinking.
Great, thank you.
Our group also mainly had a consensus, which seems to be very different from everything else I'm hearing, which was that paying attention to the quality of the awareness was an invitation to really start thinking. and it wasn't always, it sounds like for several of us it was, there was judgment involved. For others, it was just, you know, sort of the agitation of trying, now what do I do? And also towards the end of this discussion sort of floated the idea that maybe we were all so skilled at and used to thinking that we were trying to make this into something way more complicated than it really is, that it's much lighter. But the other thing we found is that at the point where for a couple of us the thinking did drop out, that there were really sort of significant body sensations, either a sense of really expansive opening or a sense of sort of a deepening and a more kind of contained opening.
Right. So. Thank you.
Okay. Our group talked about a bunch of things, but the one of them was just the general difficulty distinguishing a direct observation, or not having a direct observation without some sort of conceptualization being tied right at the moment with it. Another thing we talked about was what a good tool this is and how learning this is new to us and probably something that we've been trained our whole life not to do. But the third thing was that at least with me, when I'm really with the breath, there is no other observer or no. The only other character I can find for the benefit of this group, call it a gentle watchdog, but I'm not sure how gentle it is with me, that notices the wanderings and brings it back to try again in some way that I don't really understand, to simply be in it with the breath.
Great. Thank you.
We had a whole lot of input too, and it seems neutral. It's almost as if there's a spotlight, and the spotlight moves, and it's just what the spotlight observes. And just that sort of naked look at something, it's got a pre-verbal quality to it. And adding words to it can obscure what you're seeing. We agreed that awareness seems to start working when the storytelling is turned off. There seems to be a quality of freedom to it. It doesn't have judgment, attachment, good or bad. It's just there. It's spacious. Again, no stories. And we kept on commenting how we kept on seeing things that it was not, rather than qualities that it had. There's a quality of gentleness. There's a distance, a feeling of space between the observer and the observed, but not a detachment, a negative sort of a detachment. There seems to be a quality of interest. A simple observer seems to be there, or an observing function rather than an individual that observes. And there's a functional quality to it where it can direct you to functional uses of what's going on, that you can do something with it.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. So our conversation seemed to flow kind of naturally through four areas, the difficulties, the effects, the qualities, and how it's supported. We thought it was very hard to articulate the ineffable. And the attempt to attach words to it kind of made it seem flatter and one-dimensional, whereas it's not really. When trying to pay attention to the quality of attention itself, it's hard to avoid analysis. The critic rears its ugly head. We found it was much easier to describe metaphorically than directly. There's effort involved, but then that can lead to goal orientation, so a quality but also a barrier. The effects of becoming aware of something seems to release you from it. You're no longer caught by it. The qualities of mindfulness itself is not self. Again, it's easier to describe metaphorically. People said, like other groups, it's sort of being a simultaneous closeness and distance. And the way we said that, it's kind of like an intimate bird's eye view. It has the qualities of clarity, peacefulness, liberation, neutrality, not-self, vastness, and it's energetic. And it's supported by practice, both daily and on long retreats.
Great, thank you. So that's everyone? Well, thank you so much. And that was a lot. And it was maybe a lot to digest all of that information or ideas all at once here in 20 minutes. But maybe the overall sense of it is valuable for each of you individually to get a sense of the wider richness that's there in mindfulness practice, in mindfulness. And perhaps as you get a sense of the wider richness and qualities of it, that'll in turn will support your mindfulness. It'd be easier to be mindful, more interested in being mindful, and more engaged in the process. So, any questions or last comments you'd like to make before we stop for lunch?
So we're often asked to watch our breath, but I was wondering, so during the practice, my awareness actually wanders off to either the sound or the sensations in my legs, which to me are more vibrant than the breath itself. And I was wondering if that is okay, both in terms of meditating or aware, being aware of something other than the breath, and the fact that my awareness switches from different sensations to different sensations.
Good question. there are different schools or approaches to mindfulness meditation. Some would emphasize much more just staying with the breath, coming back and doing that. And others, and I count us here at IMC as this other kind, where the instruction is to be mindful of whatever is the most compelling experience. We give some emphasis to the breath, but if something else is more compelling, then we let go of the breath and attend to that and develop mindfulness there. And mindfulness can be developed in anything that's happening in the present moment. And so we tend to focus on what's compelling. And if you don't do that, then there's a tension set up between what's compelling and your attempt to be with the breath. We do like to give some some emphasis to the breath, because what's compelling is partly a function of what we find interesting. And so I try to tell people the breath is really interesting. so that they're less likely to get interested in other things. But is that a good answer? Is that understandable?
Maybe it's because I'm close to the window. There's a lot of interesting sound coming.
So you can just sit over in the corner and do listening meditation. It's a great meditation, just sound. Just be present for sounds and just let sounds wash through you and let your mind, your hearing mind, be as expansive as the distance it is to the sounds. It's been very nice. Yes? Is there a mic here?
To follow up on that last question, for me, that was sort of exactly what was going on also that made it a difficult exercise, was that my leg was, I was in some pain with my leg. And that was very interesting to me. And I've worked on that a little bit in meditation in terms of, you know, recognizing the pain and not trying to identify with the pain. But that was one of my struggles was, you know, that was the more compelling thing for me was the pain in my leg. And so in that situation where the instruction is come back to the breath, it was competing with that. But were I to focus on the pain, could you just, or the sensation that I'm feeling in my leg?
Right. So probably what I should have done in the exercise is given people the option to pay attention to something else. It didn't really matter what they pay attention to. I just chose the breath because that's common. But you can develop a very good mindfulness and sense of mindfulness by focusing on pain. And so some of the things you did is part of what we do, but to bring attention to pain and be able to distinguish our reaction, our relationship to the pain from the pain itself, is very freeing, because it's often the relationship which is the problem, not the pain itself. So bringing mindfulness, you can explore that. And you can also explore the quality of attention. The quality of attending is sometimes very important to notice when there's pain, because that's really maybe the real issue. We're contracted, we're tight, we're aversive, we're self-pity, or it's all kinds of other things added rather than just simple awareness. So it's fine. And what someone said, you know, being distracted is actually interesting, helpful. Are you the one who said that? Because sometimes in being pulled away in distractions, when you come back from that, you can actually notice sometimes better the quality of attention, and because of that contrast, and then you can apply it to the breath again or something. Another way of doing this exercise, which I kind of started by doing the contact with the chair first or the cushion first, was I could have just had you just move around to direct you to be aware of different things, the sounds and your pain and the breath and this and that. And as you choose and direct it in different things, sometimes it gets clearer and clearer that awareness is distinct from what you're paying attention to. Because, you know, that's what moves, you know. And then you start noticing something about the quality of that attention itself. So does that answer your question adequately, or do you want to ask?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, thank you. So one more over here. on this.
In my group, Deb had mentioned kind of coming to that suspended place and feeling like there was no thoughts and almost like she had zoned out, you know, like she just dropped out and there was nothing, but there was this element of pleasantness that she felt. And I was wondering if that pleasantness in and of itself was the awareness, that the pleasantness that she could be aware of and having that no mind state was the awareness.
Probably not. I don't know, for her, but probably not. It can be very satisfying to have a strong sense of awareness, a feeling of rightness, of satisfaction. Of it's a wonderful, nice feeling. But I wouldn't necessarily characterize it as pleasure. But pleasure is a separate experience that can happen as we meditate. As the mindfulness gets stronger, there can be pleasure that it bubbles up, that it happens. But it's not directly in the awareness itself. It's more like, a bubbling or effusive kind of nice elated feeling that might bubble up or suffuse your body or your mind.
But knowing that you have that pleasure, is that part of the awareness?
So whatever is going on. So if there's a lot of pleasure, then mindfulness would know the pleasure. Would be mindful of the pleasure, and. So the mindfulness is distinct from the pleasure because it knows. It's what knows the pleasure.
Okay.
And there were some comments about people who become one with the breath or one with their experience in this, and those are beautiful things to have happen. And certainly it's very satisfying and worthy of approach to meditation. But we understand that to be more of a concentration meditation, where we have that kind of oneness with the experience. Mindfulness with mindfulness meditation, there can be a great intimacy, almost like a oneness. But there's also a clear sense of that there's something distinct between what is known and the knowing itself. Knowing is distinct from what is known. And so mindfulness practice unfolds when that distinction is there in a very natural way. We're not trying to make that distinction disappear, though sometimes it does. In concentration practice, that distinction disappears and we kind of merge with the experience much more.